Welcome to the December 31st, 2006 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's service is led by our current and recent college students. Please visit our website for a listing of worship leaders. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now, for our worship service.
It's good to see everybody here at College Park this morning. If you look at the end of your pew, there's a pad. We'd like to get a record of the attendance here in worship this morning. If you're a member, you know the routine. Just fill in your name, and if any information has changed, you can let us know. If you're a guest, please fill in your name, your information, and just check the appropriate box. And whenever y'all are finished, you can just put the pad at the end of the pew for the usher to take. If you need to pick up a poinsettia, they're out in the hall outside of the sanctuary. And if anybody would like some extra fruit from Santa Claus, you can pick it up in the office. Next week, the evening activities will start back, and this Wednesday we'll start back Wednesday night supper. Just like Raymond mentioned last week, the Bible in 90 days will begin tomorrow, and if you would like a bookmark to tell you how to do the readings, you can pick them up at the Welcome Center. They will be there throughout the day. Starting this Thursday, the College Park Primary Basketball League will begin. This will be for ages 4 through the 2nd grade and will last every Thursday through January and February from 6:30 to 7:30 in Smith Hall. We would like to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We'll ask the ushers to come down at this moment. If you are a guest and you would like more information about College Park, these two gentlemen will have a packet that will provide you with that. If you just raise your hand as they walk down the aisle, they will give you an information about our church. We hope this morning worship will be meaningful for you, and we're glad to see everybody here this morning. If you would now please stand and join me in the invitation to share in worship. I'll read the light print if you will read with me in the dark print. Shout with joy to the Lord, O earth. Worship the Lord with gladness.
Come before him, sing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God.
He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. Thank you. You may be seated.
was a time I lost my religion. I walked the line of the worldly wise until the world became my religion. And I lost sight of paradise. And I belonged to me, to nothing. My faith in mortal things until a man replaced my religion with loving arms stretched across a rugged tree, and his promises they fail not. His mercy does not cease. I fall into his glory and I plead. Ooh, abide, abide in me. Come and fill my heart and transform every part. 'Cause your love, it covers me. Abide in me. Abide in me. I fall into his glory and I plead. Ooh, abide, abide in me. Come and fill my heart and transform every part. 'Cause your love, it covers me. Transform every part, 'cause your love, it covers me, yeah. Abide in me, oh yeah, abide in me, oh, abide. In me.
Please pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you for the gifts that you've given us and the beautiful music that you've provided for us and for the gifts that you've given all of us. And I pray that, Lord, that we'll be able to use them to glorify your name. And, Lord, bless this place and bless us. And help us to remember this week that you're with us always. In your name I pray. Amen.
From 1 Samuel 2, 18 through 20 and 26, and Colossians 3, 12 through 17. I'm going to start with 1 Samuel. But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, "May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord." Then they would go home. I'm skipping to 26. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men. In Colossians. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another, and with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Would you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for your promise. We thank you for being who you are, love, joy, kindness, Savior. You are all these many things to each and every one of us. And on top of that, you're God. Power. We thank you for who you are, God. We thank you for your baby Jesus that you've just given to us over the Advent season. And we thank you for every blessing that you've put in our lives. Thank you for life. We thank you for those who have passed on and who have gone to visit you. And we ask that you just open our hearts and open our minds during this time of worship, that we may find more about you, learn more about you, and come to love you more. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Dear God, thank you for the opportunity to all come together to worship and fellowship with one another. Thank you for the wonderful time that we've had to share with family to celebrate Christmas because of the birth of Jesus. Please take these gifts that we're about to give to honor you and to help others. Please be with us throughout this coming week and bring us closer to you. Amen.
If you'll take a moment to look in your bulletins, the song we're about to sing is called Walk Down This Mountain, and if you look at the refrain is in bold print, and we'd like you guys to sing that with us, we're going to play through it twice so you guys can hear what it sounds like, and then we'll start the song, so...
Mountain with your heart held high, following the footsteps of your maker. And with this love that's gone before you and these people at your side, if you offer up your broken cup, you will taste the meaning of this life.
If you'll try to sing that with us.
So walk down this mountain with your heart held high, follow in the footsteps of your Maker. And with this love that's gone before you and these people at your side, if you offer up your broken cup, you will taste the meaning of this life. It's a better place standing high upon this mountain. I've seen your face full of the light that only this height can show. A blistered hand is what you've given, but you've been given all you'll ever need to know. So walk down this mountain with your heart held high, follow in the footsteps of your Maker. And with this love that's gone before you and these people at your side, if you offer up your broken cup, you will taste the meaning of this life. Well, it's a common ground, and I see we're all still standing. Well, just look around, and you'll find the very face of God. He's walking down into the distance. He's walking down to where the masses are. So walk down this mountain with your heart held high, follow in the footsteps of your Maker. And with this love that's gone before you and these people at your side, if you offer up your broken cup, you will taste the meaning of this life. This life. We're standing in a place of peace, but this is how the world should be, how the world should be. Follow in the footsteps of your Maker. And with this love that's gone before you and these people at your side, if you offer up your broken cup, you will taste the meaning of this life. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. All right. I'm talking. So, here we are on College Sunday, 2 days before Wake Forest plays for a bowl game. No, seriously. Go Deeks. But Jeff asked us to come up here and speak, and I think he asked me to speak because I've had a unique, the theme of today is our journey, and as we all know, I've had a pretty weird path through college, and I think that's why he got me to talk, and my journey's been rather odd, but for a reason, I believe God has pushed me in all those directions, and I want to read a passage before I go into it, and you can follow along in your Bibles. It's in Philippians 3:1. That was a joke. That was a joke. Sorry. Philippians 3, verse 12. The title of this little section is Pressing On Toward the Goal. Not that I have already obtained all this, or I have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And everything kind of started weird for me out of high school with me thinking I was going to be a high school teacher and a history coach. And things continued to come into that path that were roadblocks, as we say. And first off, I didn't get a teaching fellow scholarship, which I thought I was going to get. And so I was like, well, that's all right. I'm still supposed to be a high school teacher. I'll continue this way. And then, of course, the thing we like to call the hand happened. And I was pushed away from football, which I thought I was for sure going to play in college. So, no problem. I still went to Western Carolina, had a great time. And while I was there, I met many people that I'm still very close with. But while I was there, things continued to not feel right. I didn't feel in place. And so I heard my calling from God to go to the beach and you know, to the great state of Seahawk, if you will say. Caw-caw. And while I was there, once again, I felt like that's where I needed to be. I was with my best friends. I met several people that I'm even more close with now. And it was very comfortable, but even then there were certain things that weren't falling into place. I was having troubles with my roommates. I wasn't being able to find another apartment that I wanted to get. Things kept happening, and eventually I got a call, and I had an opportunity in the construction business that I prayed hard about, I thought hard about, and for the first time, I really depended on God to push me in that direction, and things started to fall into place more so than they had when I was trying to do things my way. Even as much as I wanted to be at the beach for every summer and every possible moment there, things didn't work out, and that was my plan. But when I followed God's plan, it seems to be a lot sweeter future ahead of me. And things at ECU have fallen into place a lot easier and smoother than they had anywhere else I'd been. And so I meant to have this out earlier. So, that was my path. As I tried to do my things, they didn't work out. God didn't make it uncomfortable for me. He made the situations I was in very fun, and I met a lot of people, but they weren't where I was supposed to be until I relied on Him to show me where He wanted me to be. And not till just a second ago, that song that Jeremy and Ward and Brian played, which was beautiful, it said, you will taste the meaning of this life in that song. And when you're on the right path, things are a lot sweeter. They're easier. You feel at peace. And in the first verse, it says, full of the light that only this height can show. And I think that's where I'm at in my journey. I'm in the passage, he says in another version, I'm not perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I'm trying to get to that goal. And I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But even though I'm not perfect. I'm on the path I feel God has put me on. And therefore, things are sweeter, and I'm seeing a light that I haven't seen before. So that's all I got. Pass it on to Patrick.
For those of you that know me, I have been bleeding black and gold for my entire life. At the age of 4, I decided to go to Wake Forest. Lately, I've been bleeding a bit of orange as well. With trying to get to Wake Forest, you have to get really good grades in high school. I did not. You got to get a really good score on the SAT. I did not. So I was figuring, okay, I'll go someplace and I'll try and transfer in. I started out my collegiate career, which you'll find is a great expanse, at UNCG. And it started looking like it was going to be an interesting semester, and I got in with some of the wrong people, made a couple poor choices, didn't go to class like I should have, and my grades definitely reflected that. So from there, I got to the point with a couple of friends to where it came down to a do-or-die situation, and I just had to get out. From there, I went to USC, University of Silas Creek. Better than San Francisco Technical Community College and a lot quicker. There, I expected to not enjoy anything, and I actually had one of the best history professors there. It was a former military man and really loved what he was doing and really got into it. But I was also very humbled while I was there, which is something a lot of people think I could use a bit more of, and they're probably right. There, I had a class with a guy who went and graduated high school with me that I knew my modest GPA tripled. That was a very, very difficult thing for me because, not to sound arrogant, I know what I can do and what I'm not able to do, and I knew I could do Wake's work. So that summer, I transferred, again, this is number 3, into Wake Forest for summer school. There, I proved that I could do the work because I pulled down 2 A's in very hard courses. From there, I attempted to transfer full-time into Wake Forest, but they said I wasn't quite there yet. So I went to High Point University Evening Degree Program. During the day, I worked with Bill Page, whom I like to refer to as a benevolent tyrant. He treated me like a son, which is, Ward can tell you and Don can tell you, is good and bad. But it was a really good experience for me, except that every day I did 8 hours of work, did about 4 hours of school, and that's not including homework. So I had no free time whatsoever. All I did was wake up early, go to bed late, and not for fun reasons. From there, I figured, okay, if I can pull down, you know, around a 3.2, I can get in, because that's what admissions had said. Well, I did a little bit better. Pulled down a 3.6. Not good enough. That broke my heart, because I could not figure out what I had to do. They told me that they wanted me to go someplace else to see if I could do a full day's work. As if 8 hours of work, 4 hours of classes was not enough, and I thought it was a pretty full day of work. So they told me to go back to Forsyth Tech, going from a private education back to Forsyth Tech. Through there, I was told that if I can get a 3.5, then I should have a pretty good shot. Coming down to the end of that semester, I knew I was doing well in several classes, and one class, which was Spanish, which I'm not good at all, I knew I was not making the A I needed. The professor knew I was trying to get into Wake and came up to me right before exams and said, I know you're trying to get into Wake. I can change your grades. He was offering me that free A, but I could not take it. And at the time I was going, what am I doing? I've got a guaranteed shot. Why not take it? I would have loved to have an A in Spanish, but I couldn't do it. So I was like, no, I'll just see how I can do. In January, I got into Wake, which was a big dream come true for me. After 5 transfers, I had hoped that I'd finally hit my mark. I was happy. And each day I got happier. And when I got into school, first roommate was Trent Strickland, which was really cool. I got in with some really good friends, friends I still have today. I got really active in BSU and a couple other things on campus. And I've still made mistakes there, don't get me wrong. But being there, I've learned that when you're pursuing your dreams, give everything except up.
I remember standing up here 3 short years ago as I shared with you on Youth Sunday of my senior year in high school. My testimony was based upon verses in Proverbs chapter 3. They read, starting with verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight." Trust. Webster defines trust as to place confidence, to depend, to be confident, hope, to commit or place in one's care or keeping. In trust, believe. I like the idea of this, trusting my unknown future to a God who has revealed himself to me in such remarkable ways. Yet I struggle. Going into college, I pretty much had my life figured out. Many of those in my graduating class can attest to the ways that goals have changed. From teacher to contractor, nurse to businesswoman, social worker to graphic designer, chefs, professors, music majors, communications majors, pre-med, we've done it all, which thrills me. Now, don't get me wrong. I think it's wonderful to have dreams, like Patrick talked about, and to make realistic plans. But I'm not sure that I was aware of the opportunities that would be open to me and the world that God would share with me. I'm not sure any of us were. After being blessed with the privilege of working as the family ministry intern with children here at College Park, I felt led to expand my career aspirations. As many of you know, I have a passion for working with young children. I had previously limited myself to focus solely on public school education. After my first summer working at the church, God granted in me a desire to explore other possibilities. Since then, I've taken social work classes, interned at preschools in the Raleigh area, planned workshops at the Salvation Army, currently work at an infant development center, and will be helping in the on-campus autism lab next semester. Now, I'm researching divinity schools, graduate programs, and all fields of child development. Trust. I can speak on behalf of each of the college students here today that the countless options are exciting, but sometimes scary, which is why I'm constantly reminding myself to trust. As illustrated so well by Donald Miller in his book, Searching for God Knows What, he writes, "The truth is, there are a million steps, and we don't even know what the steps are. And worse, at any given moment, we may not be willing or even able to take them. And still worse, they are different for you and me, and they are always changing. I've come to believe the sooner we find this truth beautiful, the sooner we will fall in love with the God who keeps shaking things up, keeps changing the path, keeps rocking the boat to test our faith in him, teaching us not to rely on easy answers, bullet points, magic mantras, or genies in lamps, but rather in his guidance, his existence, his mercy, and his love. I'm striving to dwell in his guidance, his existence, his mercy, and most importantly, his love. And I hope that you are too."
I invite you to turn your Bibles with me to Psalm chapter 40. Unfortunately, I've got the King James Version, so it may be a little different, but I think the message is still clear. It says, starting at verse 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." When I read the Psalms, I read it as if I were saying it. for the first time as an act of praise. And over the past couple years, I've read this psalm, and I saw the word hypocrite staring right back at me. I recently graduated from Appalachian State this past December 10th. And so my journey has taken a somewhat different turn than the three previous speakers. But it's similar a little bit. I started off as a music industries major. Later I switched to history, secondary education, like Don, to be a high school history teacher. And yet I finished up with a Bachelor of Arts in history. And finishing up with a Bachelor of Arts in history, unless you're going to another level of schooling, doesn't really leave much for career. And so I've sort of graduated, and now I'm back home, and I'm living at home, and I'm looking for jobs, and all of a sudden I'm just out here, and you know, what's going on? There's no one here. I am by myself. And I figured out why. It's going to a liberal arts state-funded school such as Appalachian. They teach you to be independent. They teach you to be a self-sufficient member of society in whatever respect you're studying. And they succeeded with me. They succeeded. I feel very independent, and I feel very successful in my college. I feel like I have a great life, but I don't know where I'm going. I have absolutely no idea. And I think that the problem with teaching people to be independent from a spiritual aspect is that they learn to be independent from God. And I will not go as far as to say as that God deserts us. I don't think he ever leaves us. But I will go as far to say, and this is completely my own speculation, but I will say that I think God will try and confound you by being quiet. And he's been quiet with me. And this is a hard lesson that I've had to learn. But now I've applied to the Divinity School at Wake Forest, and I'm waiting to hear back. I'm applying for jobs. I had an interview this morning before Sunday school. I have a second interview this week, so things are starting to turn around. And I'm very thankful that God has brought me out of the horrible pit and raised me from the miry clay and placed me on the rock.
Yeah, so Ward said he was by himself. He was a little mistaken because I'm in the same place. I've been there since about May. But I wrote this song in the time when I was kind of at a loss for where I was going, and I'm still not quite sure. But through writing the song and through thinking about what God does for us, it kind of put me at a peace for where I am, and knowing that He will provide everything that I need, and that He will show me the way. And I just like to think that He's teaching me patience and humility right now while I'm trying to figure out where I'm going. Well, here we go.
You're still there when I call. You lead me on my way and show me where to go. I may not always
On this, the Lord's Day, you have heard God speak. And you have heard Him speak in a variety of ways. From the beginning of this service until the words of Jeremy's song, that your love may find a door. This morning, we have talked about journey. And you have heard the journey of just some of our college students. And all of our college students, whether just beginning, just finishing their first semester, or whether they just recently graduated, they are all facing the same questions that we all face. What is this journey that God has us on? College students, you guys are not the only ones that ask those questions. Am I doing what God has called me to do? Why isn't God speaking? But the answer for us all is to not stop the journey. Is to continue asking those questions. As we begin this new year, 2007, we take great strength in the example that our college students give to us. As they did not give up when the difficult questions come. We all can take strength from that story. That's our call. You and I, our journeys are not through. So on this day, the invitation is open for you. Where are you on your journey? What are the things that God has been teaching to you? Maybe today needs to be a day of thanksgiving for what He has said and done and provided for you. The altar will be open for you to come and to pray and to be thankful and to say to God, thank you. Maybe this invitation is for you to come and to say, God, I've struggled with understanding why you're quiet, why you're silent, and asking for patience. Maybe this morning the invitation is for you to come and to say those words here at the altar at your seat. Maybe your journey has brought you to a time to join this church and this body of believers. Maybe it's time to commit your life again to Christ. In the presence of these college students, who, from the ushers to the musicians to those who gave testimony, they reflect to us all that is good about our world and about people who are committed to following Christ. In their example of Christ's love, what in your life, what in my life needs to be changed and needs to be different? We'll be offering this time of invitation during the singing of hymn number 613, the Servant Song, a great song for a hymn of commitment. And as we stand in just a moment, I invite you to consider, how is God speaking to you? And then if you need to make a decision, if you want to join this church, Raymond will be down front to receive you. I will be here, others come and to pray for however God may lead you. This is the time of invitation for you to continue your journey with Christ. Will you pray with me? Our Father, we have been moved and we have been touched this day because of your great love for us. Our church is blessed with so many people who are committed to your calling in their lives. And on this day, we have heard from several college students from different places in their college careers, from early on to just graduated. But Father, regardless of where they are in life, we have all heard something that applies to our lives. Speak to us this morning and remind us that we are all still on our journeys, coming closer to you each and every day. Help us on this day to decide that we will pick you as our destination. Hear our song of commitment, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and sing hymn number 613?
Thank you. ask if you would please have a seat for just a moment. Reiner, if you would come, brother. This is Reiner Heller. Most of you know Reiner. He comes this morning to tell you that he has accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. I know you rejoice with him. He comes and he will be a candidate for baptism, which we will have baptism and communion next Sunday morning. So I hope that you will be here to support he and his family as he makes this important step in his journey. And if you will love him and encourage him and support him, would you join me with a resounding amen?
Amen. Amen.
Stand right here, brother. They're going to come by and greet you at the conclusion of the service. Granny, come here. Her official name is Eleanor Harward, but, you know, to two of these young men who stood here and gave testimony this morning, she's Granny. And she's come home. Her journey has brought her back to be with her daughter, Marianelle, and beautiful grandchildren. Of course. Yes, of course. You agree. Well, she is coming this morning by transfer of letter from First Baptist Church, Rayford. Would you encourage her and support and love her in this decision? If so, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
And I'll invite her lovely family to come stand with her at the conclusion of the service, and your family as well, as we celebrate these two just incredible decisions. What a wonderful day we've experienced in worship this morning. And I hope that you'll come by and greet them and their families at the conclusion of the service. Jeff, if you would, close us in prayer.
Just a reminder to us as our response at the end of the benediction, we're going to sing the chorus to Walk Down This Mountain that you did so well earlier, just as we go, as we leave this place. Will you pray with me? What a good day it has been, our Father, to be with fellow believers in Christ and to see you alive and well in so many of our people. As we come out of Christmas and into the new year, we consider the birth of Christ and the second chance that you gave to all of humanity. And so, Father, this day we claim that second chance and we give it this life to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you stand?
So walk down this mountain with your heart held high. Follow in the footsteps of your Maker. And with this love that's gone before you and these people at your side, if you offer up your broken cup, you will taste the meaning of this life. One more time. So walk down this mountain with your heart held high. Follow in the footsteps of your Maker. And with this love that's gone before you and these people at your side, if you offer up your broken cup, you will taste the meaning of this life.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org, or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.